I'm waiting. Thank you. Okay. Can you? I want you to look up this, the crowd talking about Jesus, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, let's read this words together. Let's go. He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Bellumi, are you there? It's not. Can you help me capitalize the word? He has done all things well. One of the greatest secrets of life, if you're going to look at how do you live your life? The biggest motive is that you want to do everything well. See, Jesus, whatever he did, he said, he's done all things well. We have a problem today. Do you know that I'm hearing Christians saying that when they become leaders in some of these places, people that give them more problems are the Christians. Even Muslims are better. I'll drop another one. Sometimes, some of you over here, you make fashion, you make clothes or something like that. Christians can make life more difficult for you. I don't know if you agree with me on that. It's only in church that somebody will come to church and won't do coming to church well and be fiddling with his phone. In mosque, they don't do that. You never go to mosque and pull out your phone and be doing Facebook. Oh, Barry. Have you heard that before? You know, so we Christians, our master, our savior, is done all things well. Whether marriage, whether work, whether friendship, whether discussion, whether commitment, is done all things well. You can see Prof this morning talking about health and healing. He didn't get all those ideas from just books. He's practiced it. He's gone through fire of affliction. When it comes to the area of sickness, disease, it got in his whole house sick that he had to take the word of God and push you through. We thought those days would never come, but here we are. Can we clap our hands for Jesus, somebody? So, doing things well so matter. Whatever you do, whether church, whether husbanding or wifing, friending or attending, thinking or making, whatever you are doing, I want you to start thinking like this. Whatever I do, I want to do it well. Financially, emotionally, all he did it well. Tell somebody beside you, you can do everything well. I feel that should be the trademark of a Christian. That, like Jesus, whatever he did it well. I don't want to just come over here. Listen to me. I'm not interested in attendance. I'm not just interested in, thank God you came. Thank God you occupy your seat. But what's the use? You know, we live in a world today where institutions are living their own life. Schools just exist for school. Business just exists for business. This, that should not be. It should be that the school exists to see that we have excellent students who can affect the world. The same thing with church today. Church is not just to have building and have stuff and have jet for our senior pastor. That's not the purpose of the church. Purpose of the church is that each one of us, we are bringing this fullness to life. You know, I've been talking about that for some time now. So really what we are after is that you as a person, that's the biggest thing you can do for favor for God and for the rest of us, is that you are going to take this thing. And when they look at you, they will say, he's done everything well. Now your wife will say, wow, my husband, you are doing well. Now your wife will say, wow, you're doing it well. That your boss will say, if I travel, I'm missing my cope. That your children will say, what a great father. That your parents will say, what a great child. That your siblings will say, what a great brother. But that takes some skill. It doesn't happen by itself. So I want to show you today some things you can do. Put them together. Hope I'll be able to finish it. You know, in my younger days, I was an idealistic person. I thought ideas will move the world. No. Bulldozers do. Mountains don't move by ideas. Move by bulldozers. So we must learn to execute. We must learn to get things done and do them well. You know, every time I come to church, I ask myself a question as a pastor. Now, you all come, you know, I'm an introvert as a person. I don't like crowd as much. But I'm stuck in this job. I have to face crowd every week. So, but you know what satisfied my heart? When I pass that place, I stop at the door, look inside first before I meet all of you, before you terrorize me. Hello? And when I enter, the reason why I come over here and over here again is because I want you to excel. I want you to do well. I want you to get somewhere with your life. That's why I'm coming here. I'm not here to build ministry or do something big. I'm cool. I mean, honestly, just give me a room, a table. My children will tell you I'm okay with my Bible. So I'm really, what really will satisfy me is that you are living life and doing things well. Whether you are the lowest level, you are doing it well. Whether you are the highest level, you are doing it well. Because at the end of the day, you'll be happy when your life is doing well. Am I right, anybody here? So let's look at a few things we can learn today. Write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe we'll finish it next year. If you're going to do anything well, let me take my seat. I want to. Bloody, can I put this on? All right. Can I have this? Is it working? They have to go through all the struggle to make it happen. Okay. What do I do with this one? This is why I didn't want to. Bolade, my super deacon for sand. Okay, all right. Pastor, why are you sitting down? Why are you sitting down too? Jesus loves to teach by sitting down, so I want to. So we're going to look at what if you're going to do anything well, where do you start? You can do things, but if you're going to do anything well, start with thinking first. What do I say? Start with thinking first. If you don't start with thinking, you will be average in what you do. You know, one time I read a study that they put athletes, people that run races, like Olympic now, they put two groups, group A here, group B here. They told group B to just physically prepare and run. And then they told the group A to spend some time to think, to look at their game and see themselves really doing well and making it in this game. They put both of them later on the field. Those one who spend some time thinking actually excel more than those who just physically train. So, if you're going to do anything well, let's go to Psalm 92. You'll see this is very beautiful about God. Don't just start doing business. Don't just start getting married, having children. Are you stopping to think? Even when you have them, are you thinking? Psalm 92. Let's take a look. I saw this verse. It's amazing. Verse 5. Can you give us on the screen? Oh, can you look up? Oh Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. So, great works come from deep thoughts. Great works come from deep thoughts. If there are no roots for the tree, there will be no fruit on the tree. You hear what I just said? See, a lot of time, because you don't think well about things, so they don't get accomplished well. You know, what I'm going to say now will shock you. Jesus spent 30 years to think about what he's going to do on the earth. So when he came out 3 years, he did everything well. Pentecostals seem to forget that. That Jesus, 30 years, he was growing, he was learning, he was becoming better on the inside. So when he came out, he was a dynamite. Have you ever wondered how he answered all those questions? How did he face life? I mean, on the sea, on the land,
before sickness, demons. Jesus' thoughts were rich and deep. No wonder it was like his father. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my God. Tell everybody, let's think higher. Stop seeing your wife as just a body of flesh. Just seeing your husband as just six-pack. Pastor, you don't get three packs even. Stop seeing your workplace as Kanala Sibeja. And stop seeing Nigeria as Tinubu Black Power. Start thinking that, why are you here? What can you do? So start thinking. Can I even ask you? Start thinking about coming to church. Don't just come to church. If you start thinking like that, you'll not be coming late as you used to come late. Can you just imagine, go to our service, you're dragging around almost one and a half hours gone, and you sit down, and you stab yourself, you come to church, and you take picture in Rough Foundation Church, selfie, worshiping. You're not worshiping nothing. You're not thinking about what you're doing. If you're thinking about what you're doing, you do better at home. Even the food you eat, are you thinking about it? You boys, Coke and bread. How is that a good combination? You thinking about it? Everything he does it well. Ladies, think about what you are doing in the home. Think about this child. Before you start lashing out, think about it. Oh, these kids. Now my kids are grown up now. I'm reaping some of the reward of all our struggles those days. There's a payday coming. Now, I know. I was in my office a few minutes ago. Christians are at work. They are suffering today. People are making hell for them. But don't forget, think. And one of the best ways to think is to think in line with God. One of the finest ways to think is to think in line with God. For instance, if you're a husband, take this thought. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Can I bring a thought, higher thought about our career? Colossians 3. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at verse 21. Do the thinking first. Hallelujah. Next verse. Okay, that word born servant is like civil servant today, whatever you are working. Obeying all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men please, but in sincerity. What's happening? Who's running like that? Let's do it well, oh. Let's do it well. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now, this is where I'm going. Next verse, 23. And whatever you do, even washing your toilet, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort. It doesn't matter who is looking at you. You know, years ago, Prof, you remember we read a book about the man that was making something on the roof. It was in Greek Empire, and they asked this man to come and do a statute on the fifth story level of the building. Nobody was, it's on the roof, five-story building on the roof to put something there. And he did that work, and after he finished, he gave them the bill. Greek authorities said, no way, that's too much. Nobody is saying it. You know his answer? The gods are saying it. Did you hear that? The gods are saying it. Look here, you're not working for that company. You're working for the master. I didn't say so. As something done for the Lord and not for men. Look at this verse. Knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not from men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. Do you know what? You know why I serve you over here? Do you know why I do everything? You know why I don't demand money from you?
The Lord is paying me. I capitalize on his inheritance. I know that if I give my best to you, the Lord will take care of me. Are you hearing me? Do the same thing in your workplace.
Pastor, I am not serving Christ in my workplace. It is a secular place and they are all mad dogs.
Thank you. You're a better servant of God than I do. And you'll be given reward for walking in the midst of wolves. Are you hearing me? So begin to see like that. That this is what Christianity is about. You walk like Christ. I mean, can you just look around you? Can you see the marvelous work of God? Just look around you. Can you look? Beside there, just look at their faces. Look at their faces. God is just marvelous. Varieties. You go to the sea, you see all kinds of sea animals. You walk around your house, look at the grass. And your father made that. Have you ever woken up one day and you see one banner across the sun? And the sun say, hey, heart inhabitant, I'm going for service for the next 7 days. All solar energy, shut up and shut down. I don't have time. Can you just imagine our God, the way he walked, he put the sun there that has never gone for servicing all these years. I think God demands a standing ovation. God demands, can you stand up? Let's clap our hands for Jehovah God. Let's clap our hands for Jehovah God. Come on. Hey, can you imagine? With all our air pollution, we are still breathing. Clap your hands one more time for Jehovah God. Hallelujah. Sit down. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, look, it doesn't matter who is around you, whatever they are doing. Don't let Nigeria affect you. Your promotion will come. I don't mean Jackpa. Whatever it comes, God will settle you. God will take care of you. Just give. Somebody I'm saying in this, Brashola, please stand up. My brother, please stand up. With your wife there, right? Please, both of you stand up. I was thinking of asking you to come on the 8th. Please come. Please come. Please come. They're not our church member. I didn't know you were going to visit today. Thank you. Sorry for, can I have you come up? Please come. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. This is the husband. Sorry for exposing you. Forgive me. Stay over here. I didn't tell you I would do this. Whatever you do, do it well. My wife will teach on relationships. So I told my wife, I said, you know what? You are so good. You're not like me. I scatter everywhere. My wife can stand over here and just teach. You hear her clearly. Me, you don't hear me clearly. I talk fast. I talk deep. I slow down. So I told her, get on the radio and just minister the word. So I took her to the studio, Emmanuel's studio. We got to the studio. My wife couldn't do the recording quite well. Me, I'm a jack of all trades, the master of none. I do that. And I told her to look at this screen and talk. And she found it difficult. So when we were thinking, I said, let's just take your teaching in church and put it together. And my wife will, you know, as I've been blessing us, so Emmanuel and I will take the radio program and put it on the air, and put it on the air, and put it on the air. And we are doing all we can with it. My brother here, she was in a business trying to mass produce and reduce the price. The people around him went after him. And his wife, they were big guys, they went to digging wells and coal, and they wrecked them. I mean, they were flat. He was thinking of committing suicide, sir. And the radio program, doing things well. He just sent a word to my wife. My wife said, meet my husband. He walked into my office that day, almost practically gone. Today, they have a thriving business. They are moving on. He brought me the fish that they made last. They just at this pond, about 2,000 kind of things. The fish is well done. It's giant like this. I was screaming with him. Now, they are into poultry. They are having markets. And they are thinking of, even, Pastor, can we come to your church? 10 people, we will tell them to raise poultry, we buy from them, and help them go on. You know the challenge I gave to him? It's not a church member here. I just said, you know, my brother, we can start again. We can do things well. It was rough, but we are on the way. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. Thank you. Can you help your wife now? Thank you. Let's help her now. Thank you. Hallelujah. Doing things well, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how you can pick up and make things to be accomplished. I prayed with you. You are not finished. Even Jesus on the cross, when they did everything, he didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. Let me sit down again. I'm learning to sit down. As we're getting older, I'm learning to sit down more. And stop behaving like a boy. Pastor, you told me to think first, and then I'm thinking. But why should I go the way you said it should go? Now, I noticed something happened. Prof was talking in the first service. When I started church years ago, I had a challenge. I come to, you know, all of us are doing church, you know, pastors, ministers, they open church. It got to a point I was getting tired. That time we were at Iana Mortuary on the last floor. So as I was getting tired, I went, when nobody was around, I went upstairs, fell on the pulpit area and just said, Lord, I don't know. I'm just, I was not thinking like I'm thinking now. So Lord, please, Lord. And I just had a voice saying to me, "I will help you." I had that voice. "I will help you." So I thought an angel will appear to me. Or some kind of breakthrough will happen. And I have overnight redemption camp. So 2 weeks later, I went to Lagos to go and see one of our elderly friends. And when I finished saying that, I turned toward Uju Elegba. I just dropped and I entered a bookshop. And on the shelf was a book I never seen before because I love reading books. And I picked up the book. When I opened it, every chapter in the book was answering my question. The book was titled Purpose Driven Church. I know you know Purpose Driven Life, but I said Purpose Driven Church first. That Purpose Driven Church showed me the purpose of what I'm doing. When I got hold of the reason why I am pastoring, that's why you see me like a madman today. If you don't have purpose for what you are doing, for instance, you're a young man. I know you are wrong in this service, but you are here anyway. You are thinking of getting married. Have you ever asked yourself, what's the purpose of marriage? Oh, Pastor, I'm already married. I'm a husband. What's the purpose of a husband? You will never do things well without knowing the reason why. But I always mention him. One time he was having business and he said, what's the purpose of this business? Because all the purpose is that your employees come over here and they work and their daily bread is being given. So if you stop this business, it will affect them. Whoa! He got up with a new energy. If you are going to do anything well, what's the purpose? Before you travel abroad, what's the purpose? Huh? People travel abroad. Okay, Japanoni. What's the purpose? I want to do something. I want to. This country is not allowing me. In what way? What's your reason? Why? We see, why will give you continuous energy? Why is what we call understanding. If they give you at work a target, have you understood why? Company, what's why? You see, as a doctor, why? You are treating human beings. You are working on their lives. If a teacher knows the purpose of class, your life will change. You see, here you go. You see these little, small things looking like rats. And you are influencing their life. That 50 years time, they come for your 80 years old birthday. And I was my uncle's 80th birthday. And one of his students, pupils in primary school that he taught, was the chief launcher of his book on that day. You see, when we don't have purpose, we won't last in anything. For instance, my purpose as a husband is to love my wife as I love. No, as Christ loved me. So I came to see that my purpose at home is to love this girl. Sorry. This woman. Okay. So let's call her my girl. No, she has some gray hair on her head now. You know. So my purpose in the house is to love her. Rebuke her in love, encourage her in love, lift her up in love, pull her down in love, play with her in love. That's my purpose. And for my kids, my purpose to be father for a long time to come. That father said, he said, help your children, raise them up in the Lord's admonition. I thought that was only for 15 years. But I came to see that. It's a lifetime. Because this guy's going to walk in and say, Dad, you know what happened? You start listening. In my younger days, purpose of father is to terrorize the kids. To a lot of women, purpose of a father is, Baba Embo, Anya Julia here. You know, so that is usually the Idi Amin and Bin Laden. You know, those days when we were growing up, my wife will tell you, when daddy comes up, you all go up. When daddy goes up, you all come down. One guy wrote me a letter. He said, Pastor, I don't like this idea of God being our heavenly father. I said, shiki now. He said, my daddy is irresponsible. My mom does everything. He doesn't do anything. He said, for you to say God is our father, it bothers me. He said, I saw a verse about mother, God as our mother in the Bible. I like that. You know what I feel? What an indictment against fathers. As a worker, do you know the reason why we have problem in National Assembly and Executive Presidency? People that arrive there, the purpose is to loot. Are you hearing me? So that's why they can't do, you know, the purpose is, when you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. Max Monroe says that. What's the purpose? Hallelujah. Bring us some money. I'm not collecting offering. Bring us some money. Can you bring some money? Bring out some money in your pocket. I'm not collecting offering. You are going. I need money from your bag. Don't worry. It's my bank. Okay, all right. Anything, just give me. I know it will be small. Uh-huh. That's my wife. Can you hold that money, your man? What's the purpose of money? Some of you. Nina Lowo. That's why I yet better go on in. That's why you are broke and in debt. Nina Lowo come and say. That's what told me. Oh where ni? Oh where lo me? You know. Let's go to the next one. If you are going to do anything well, number three, have an end in view. If you go to school, that's an end to school now. That's what helped me too. We call it, you must be goal driven. You must have a goal. You must have a goal. What are you going to do? For instance, if you travel abroad now, what's your goal? I want to get my own house in 2 years. I'm going to settle down. I want to get. See, you got goal. Goals, can you imagine? You will not do anything well if you don't have goals. Let me explain. How many of you love football here? Football. I'm not calling you a sinner. Relax. Some of you are doing like this. You are doing like this. You know, football. When you go to football, what makes football exciting? Toby, it's not the goals. The goalposts. You see the place, quiet. It just erupted. Whoa, they start screaming. I've seen people that score ball, scream and put down their shorts and put it back. I mean, it was crazy. Why? Because, see, can you imagine you go to a stadium, you enter, paid money and sit down, and they came out and removed the goalpost. And I said, play. Next thing, where's my money? Because the game is never exciting without goalposts. So what's the goalpost of your life? What's the goal you are setting out?
Pastor, I'm a child of God. I don't have any goal. I just move by the Spirit.
Even Jesus himself had goals. Let's see in the Bible. Luke 13. Jesus had goal. Take a look. We'll look at the Amplified Bible. Luke 13, 31. Take a look at this. Give us an Amplified Bible. Luke 13, 31. Let's rush this one. Okay. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, leave and go away from here because Herod Antipas want to kill you. See, everywhere you go, whatever you are doing, there'll be threats. If there are no difficulties, you can accomplish well.
Pastor,
I want to go abroad. When you go abroad, they are watching me now. There are more difficulties to tackle. Can you just imagine playing football? When you play back to football, guys, today, I mean, you're playing football and you're going toward goalposts and nobody is following you. Nobody's rushing you. And they're all laughing. What do you call that one? Thank you, Dr. Professor. You know, it's offside. And you score. You score a lot, but it's not counted. By them rushing you, it means it's going to be a goal. Pastor, I don't want to set goal because Yoruba mentality. Timbati set goal, unito. Timbati make up mind, me bye. I want demons of hell. It's not offside. If demons don't rush you, it's an offside. And I hope, you know, like that farmer who, a salesman was passing through the village. And he got to the village and he saw on the wall, I mean, on the back of a tree, target. You know what they call target? They shoot like that. And he saw on the trees, every target was on course. So he told the farmer, you're a sharp shooter. He said, no, I shot first and I paint around it. You don't know the meaning of that. You know. Pastor, prof, you know that some people, they go to become HOD or D or DBC or provost. Just to arrive at the office is an accomplishment. And they stop there. And when they finish 4 years or 5 years, they'll come together to come out to Thanksgiving Church with fat envelope. I have gone. I have finished. I have conquered. What did you do? I arrived. It's no life. Look at Jesus. Next verse. I love this amplified. Look at it. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, kolo kolo, that sly cowardly man, politicians, listen carefully. I cast out demons and performs healing today and tomorrow and on the third day. I don't hear your voice. So Christ set goal. Praise God, somebody. Have you set goals? Are you looking at your life?
Pastor, you know the trouble is that if I set goal for 12 months, and after 12 months, I didn't get anywhere.
At least you got somewhere. Better shoot at 100 and got 50 than shoot at nothing and get it fully. You get what I just said? So, to accomplish things well, you have to have a goal that's driving you. Have you seen them playing football? They play, play, play. They are looking at the goal. They dribble, dribble, dribble. When they enter second half, you don't dribble so much anymore. You want to put it in the net. And as we go further in life, as we grow older, let's stop just playing. Let's start winning. I heard something years ago. The coach told all his team members. He said, history is not made by playing. History is made by winning. And so you can count it. Is that all right? So have end in view. I want my children to arrive here. I want my finance to be like this. Pastor, but you know, I don't want to set goals in this kind of difficult country. Things are difficult. Set some goal and the Father will be there with you. Are you hearing me, somebody here today? Look at your Father in heaven. The first chapter of the Bible, when I opened it, I thought God was lazy. Anybody like me? If I had all the power like God, first day, animal be, land be, human beings be, I'm a struggle. See what God did. He set goal for each day. In fact, he set goal for rest. I'll show you that in the next few minutes. We'll get to that. You know, God will get up every day. For me, I thought God was just lazy. I'll make even this building before that time. I'll make houses for people. But he just got up and went and said, darkness, let there be light. And he went to go and sit down. Goal accomplished. Somebody said, what about that? Don't let others define your goal. Don't let, that's rat race. Ah, that guy has bought a car. I buy a car. That guy just finished his house. Ah, Jesus. Oh, you go and check to their house. You see the house well furnished. You're not tap your husband. Don't make life difficult for him. Are you hearing me? Are we blessed? So, what's the first one? Think. Second one, I wrote down. Third one, have a goal. Now, I like this one. Before we leave, ask God for help. What I say? Even if you know how to do it, ask God for help. I'm talking to brothers here now. Men don't ask God for help until they are lost. Let's read a story in the Bible. Chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. Very beautiful story. Ask God for help. Can you give us verse 9? This is a king. 2 Chronicles 14. It's called King Asa. He was building a kingdom. Who was King Asa? I mean, from my Jehoshaphat. Remember Jehoshaphat? That's the father of Jehoshaphat, King Asa. Let's look at verse before this verse, verse 8. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shield and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shield and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. How many put them together? How many are that? Yeah, no, go back. Who is there now? Let's do it well. An army of 300,000. What's that? 300,000. And then Benjamin, 280,000. That's how many? 580,000. Okay? Now, see, something had happened. Look at next verse. And Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of what? And 300 chariots. And he came to Marisa. Now, they got how many people? This guy came against them, what? That's where life is. They tell you, you can build this house with 20 million and 30 million. Kuti de linte. You know what I'm talking about? Those who build, they know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So what will you do? Look at next verse. I love this. Then Asa went out against them. And they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Sephata at Merasa. Next verse. And Asa did what? I know what this is. I'm going to tell you a story. I was not fully saved. I was on my way to salvation. You know, you know that. Many of us are like that. I finished my secondary school. There was no physics in our school. There was only chemistry and biology. So I needed physics for my future. I want to do medicine. And I started doing physics on my private side. And I read the book, but I never went to the lab. So I did private GC, which is alternative to practical. What if you did that? Alternative to practical. So that was my first major exam, prof. It was at Iwo in Osun State. So I entered the exam hall. I did what I could. And I remember, Nigerians are prayerful in time of trouble. Am I right? I came out of the exam hall. There was a house, there was a uncompleted building opposite the gate of the school. I ran inside there, fell on my knees. I said, Lord, please, I need your help. This exam I just did. I don't get them. But please, Lord, don't let me fail. I beg. Please, Lord, I beg. I don't know whether I even cried. And I got up. I went. And result came out. I got A2. First time I did physics without any teacher. I said, eat and light. I got practically distinction. So I told myself, boy, a big boy now. And then jam came. I didn't pray. I didn't cry, nothing. I went to exam hall, wrote exam. When the result came out, I went to go and buy new clothes. I remember the clothes, brown shirt, brown shoes, like I'm doing now, you see. This is kind of color like this. You know, they said, it's at OAU, your resort, because I picked OAU as my first choice. Who should be picked? I got twice distinction, WASC, GC, and I marched toward the notice board. Bangan, where's my name? Hey, Yahweh. That forced me to get born again. The next exam jammed. Move fast. We pray. I talk to God. When the result came out, I didn't buy new clothes. I went to the resort, fear and trembling. When I got down there, they said, your name is not there. I said, no, his name is number one. I'm also JT. I got there and see something. My brother told me. I didn't see the result myself. I didn't want to. I've already passed. I learned my lesson. Don't be cocky in life. Ask God for help. Even when you seem to be able to do it, there's a story in the Bible. I don't have time today. It was Joshua. They beat up Jericho. When they finished with Jericho, there was a smaller place, about 30,000 men. And he said, we don't have to pray. You guys just go down there and just take care of it. But you don't know what's happening in the world today. So, number one. What's number three now? Ask God for help. What did I say? Ask God for help. You are going to Lagos. Pray. Father, the road is clear. You pray still. Hallelujah. We men over here, we don't pray. Wives, are we correct? You know how we pray? I still pray like that till now. We want to eat. Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Let's eat. No, my wife will stop. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Our children, wherever they are, it's a cat John. Now, men, don't be terrified. Pray like that. Why? Let your wife fit like this. When you pray like that, want to do a business, you just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us success in Jesus' name. And your wife says, Father, the people that are coming, bring it from the Lagos, that they will not have accident on the road. They will listen and say amen. But when your own turn comes, just say, Father, I receive success in Jesus' name. As much as a prayer, as a long prayer, they work together. Clap your hands, men and women, for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go home. And number, next one, ask for human help. Ask for human help. Are you hearing me? Ask for, well, people, you're too big. Ask for human help. One of the things, if you're around me, you're telling me something I don't want to say, I don't understand. Come again. Explain to me. What about this one working? How does it work? You know, yesterday something happened to me. They were all at home. And I won't tell you the whole matter. We usually buy fuel from somewhere and we think the fuel is cheaper. Then Toby said, Dad, that fuel doesn't last. It's cheaper. I said, whoa, that's help. You see, don't always think you are so smart. You won't hear anybody. Prof told us about a story during the second service, first service. We were all laughing. Professor Kennedy. He said, there was this professor inside the boat with a fisherman. And then Prof was full of pride in the boat. And he said, you know, do you know anatomy? He said, I don't know anatomy. You know physiology? He said, I don't know physiology. Do you know pathology? He said, you know nothing. That's where we're going. There was a storm. Then fisherman said, do you know sonology? Do you know sonology? The prophet said, I never heard that. See me on the other side. Learning to ask for help. Do you know why your wife is giving to you? To be a helper. Ask her for help. I tell my wife, I'm blessed. I have two help. You have only one. I have Holy Spirit and I have you as my helper. You have only Holy Spirit. So who's actually weaker? Who's actually weaker? The person with two help or the person with one help? Leave that alone. So you ask for help. Hallelujah. Ask for human help. I can't tell the story right now. I can't tell you where the verse is in the Bible. You know Moses? Moses had the pillar of cloud of fire in the night, pillar of cloud in the day. And God said, I will take you through the wilderness. You know what Moses did? Even with God, with pillar of fire, he asked for his in-law. He called his in-law. He said, you know your way all through this wilderness. God is there. He said, and his pillar of fire. He said, you know your way. Come and be our eyes. And we will do you good when we get to the land. We will share with you. We share the profits. That's your problem. You want to keep all the profits. So you want to share with anybody. And when God starts blessing you, tell somebody beside you, when God starts blessing you, you will need human help. Let's go to Luke 5 and prove that our time is fast spent. We're going to go. Choir, I need to. What? It's past 11. Choir, can you come and sing now? So we stop now? Okay, let's stand. Maybe we'll continue next. Let's rush. Oh, man. Where's your husband? He's somewhere there. Shala, maybe no. Ambo. What's it we should open to? Luke 5. Take a look at this verse. We'll run up quickly. Verse 6, let's see, maybe correct. Jesus blessed them with fish. That's Peter. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was what? Don't stop there. God start blessing, God start increasing your business. Don't be sleeping at work. Do something. Look at next verse. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. I'm a man who has enjoyed God's help. But I'm also a man who has enjoyed human help. I mean, look at Prof this morning. Just blessing us. That's human help. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Look at the ushers. Look at people cleaning, walking all this, doing all this. Human help. I'm ready. And the reason why we don't have human help is because we are too selfish. You know, when you join Google or you join one of these companies like Microsoft, moment you become an employee, you become a stakeholder. Boys become instant millionaires joining some of these companies. They want to share the loot. But in Nigeria, they impoverize you. See why all our boys are leaving the banks and going abroad? Why won't they leave? They work like Jakar. The guy got jet, got everything, but they don't get anything. They want to corner everything. That's the problem with Africans. So ask for human help and pay them sometimes and do something with it. Hallelujah. Let's finish with this last two. If you are going to work anything well, work at it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Do it well. Certification, exam, whatever. Work at it. I noticed in Nigeria, people will start building school or building a business. They got to a point, they become now well, and the next thing, they are going abroad for holiday for 3 months. You can't leave that business for 3 months and survive. Or they become esco of this, esco of that. They won't stay with their work. They've asked me in this town to come and do esco of even church organization. I don't do esco. I don't get time. You know what I find out in the Bible? They ask, a man gave a parable. He said, I know I'm causing trouble in Nigeria now. I'm causing trouble. We have books on leadership. Too much. We should be a great follower and get things done. They asked, this man gave a parable. He said, the trees of the forest were asking, who will be their leader? And they went to a mango tree. Mango tree said, I don't get time to be a leader. I'm producing mango. They ask olive tree. He said, I don't get time. I'm doing olive oil. Then they ask Egun, turn and teach to. He said, I get time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against leaders. But I believe in doing whatever you do well. See, if you build your life well and you have your own cars, when they make you an HOD and there's no car for you, and when you finish, they give you a car, and when you finish, you drop the car and you'll not be crying. But if you have never built your own life, built your own car, buy your own car. What did I say? HOD, go. And one day you will retire and you're going back home. They give you big TV, that's all. And your person that you work for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to make us real Christian indeed. But let's work out. Whatever you do. I had a case when I was in UK, in Manchester, with Dr. Gotade. That day we were at home, or we went to the shop to go and buy things, and they called us. The son was very active, so he put his hands through the door, and the thing just almost cut off the finger. And we were in the shop, I'm in Nigeria, at the car wash. He said, don't worry. He said, within 10 minutes, ambulance will be in my house. I said, you sure? They are NHS. So they picked the boy. He said, don't worry, let's keep on buying. He finished buying. They said, let's go to the hospital. We go to the hospital. They already take care of the boy. And he told me that if the boy doesn't fully get it done, they fly with a helicopter. Boy, helicopter. Nigeria. Okadaga, Olegbele. You know, but you know what happened? They put a bandage around the hand. And then they said the boy was active. He removed the bandage. Now, this is the shocking thing for me. And they said, the doctor said, I've been bandaging the hands of kids for 18 years. He said, only one kid succeeded. One of my sadness today is that go to our institutions, people are not doing things well. Even those who determine to do things well, they persecute them. Am I correct? They fight you like no man. Finally, the last law I learned about accomplishing things well, I call it the law of Genesis. Write it down. God, when you open Genesis, you will see this. And God said, am I right? And God saw, am I right? Have you seen that in the Bible? And God said, and it happened, and God saw. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you are going to accomplish things well, one of the greatest power is that that thing you accomplish must open the door for next one. Let me explain myself. Look at God. God, there was darkness. God said, let there be light. And it accomplished. Do you know what? After God finished, is God not perfect? Is God not perfect? But you know, brother, God, after doing that, he looked at the light that he made and examined and assessed it. And he said, behold, the light was good. God himself, oh. And then that led to the next thing. Every accomplishment is a child of somewhere and must be a father of something. When you finish building your house, what does it mean next? When I become HOD, what does it mean next? Because every accomplishment is a seed for the next greatness. Always, always see your life. Now you are married. You have left bachelorhood. You have left spinsterhood. Now, what will you do next? What will you do with your life? You are retired now. What will you do with your life? God will say, I see. That's good. You know, one time God said, it's not good. Am I right? Because it's not good. So God looked at what he has done and said, there's nothing as self-assessment. Don't wait for others to assess you. Assess yourself brutally, and then you can do things better. Are we blessed today? Let's stop there. Are you blessed today? Let's go through it one more time. So what do we say? Those who are taking notes, what's the first one? Think. Third one. The end in view. Four, ask for God's help. Five, ask for human help. Next one, work at it. Work at it, work at it. The better you get, the more you work at it. That business, work at it. Last one, or two, the last one. Huh? The law of Genesis. Say it, make it happen, and look at it again and ask yourself, have I done this well? My former driver was in my house yesterday, my former driver, and we're asking for his son. And he said, oh, what's his name now? Bimbola. What's his name now? Bolaan, thank you. And he said, Bimbola said, how's Bolaan? You know, he said, oh, Bolaan was fine. I'm a bigger boy now. He said, yes, there's something. And then, Femi, my driver said, my former driver, he said, when my son got the result, he got some bees and stuff. Before the father ever spoke, he said, Dad, I didn't get good results. I didn't get good results. Don't worry, I'll make you proud. So this time, he got about 10 A's and 3 B's. And he said, Dad, yeah, I think that's where we should live as God's children. I think we should be upping our game and getting better. And sorry, I'm very humble, forgive me. Even if you don't assess yourself, people will assess you. You know why you are coming here? Because I'm trying to make it better. That's why you are coming here. If I stop making it better, start sleeping with church members, start raking everybody for their money, what will you do? You talk to your leg, Yoruba, Baba is Esoro. Tell somebody yes. Why? A man of God told me something years ago that applies to life. He said, life is like orange. Your life is like an orange juice. When people squeeze your life and they find juice there. They will keep on sucking it until you stop delivering the juice. Moment you stop delivering the juice, they throw it away. You'll not be thrown away in Jesus' name. May your husband, your wife, your family throw it you away. May you be kept and preserved as you do all things well. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for my life. Lord, I pray that my life will be lived well. After the man with talent came, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I want to hear, well done. In every area of my life, I want to do well. I want to do things well. Help me to do this. In those seven things, which part have you not been doing well? Maybe you have not been asking for human help. Maybe you have not been asking for God's help. Maybe you don't know the reason why you are doing what you are doing. Or do you have any goal in view? Are you going to reach your goal? Are you going to go after it? Are you going to work at it? Are you going to see a new level in the midst of this? Lord, we appreciate you. Tell him, Lord, my life will not be a waste. My life will be fruitful, not only for my family, but for my friends, for my neighbor, for my church, for my world. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for lifting me. Thank you for encouraging me. Now tell yourself, I will do things well. Start with the confession. I will do things well. I will do things well. That will be my trademark now. I will do things well. At home, at work, in my personal life. In my prayer, in my reading, in my growing, in my thinking. I will do things well. Just like my master, I will do things well. And I give you all the glory. And all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Let's give our offering. Choir, you have a song? No, because you didn't practice last week. Okay, so we start practicing this month. Choir has finished holiday. They're back to work. Doing everything well. Let's give our offering and get out of here. We already spent our time too far. Hallelujah. Third service supposed to start since. Sola, forgive us. We didn't do that well. We will adjust. All right. Let's give our offering. Praise the Lord. Some people I want to pray for right now. As we are giving our offering, I want to pray for people in the house. If you are starting a new thing, maybe a project, a new job, I want to pray for you. If you have a project you're about to start doing, or second people, you have been doing something but it's getting stagnant. Things are not moving as they should. We're going to ask for God's speed for you. So I want, before we give our offering, can we just hold on before we give our offering? Can we just hold on where we are? Let's just pray right now. If you're in that category, can you just please stand up? You're about to start something, start a project, start a new job. Or maybe you are here. Let's start with that one first, the starting point first. Can you lift up your hands to heaven as you stand up? Every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Dear Father, these are your children standing up. They are starting. But you said in your word, I said, the Lord, build the house. Those who build the labor in vain. We are inviting your help so early. We are asking for your marvelous help for them. As they start, start with them. Make this extraordinary for them. Let them have a testimony that they actually see your help. And that it will be done well. And people will celebrate what has happened through their lives. In Jesus' name. Now sit down. Those ones who are, you have been doing something and just been a little bit stagnant. It's not just receding. It's not just moving quite well. Can you stand up on your feet? I want to pray that God will give you divine speed. Divine speed. Divine speed. Divine speed. Father, we ask for divine speed. We ask for acceleration. We ask that you step in and steer things up. Raise men. Raise circumstances. Raise your angels to make the ball rolling again. Lift your hand. Let's thank him for it. From this week, we'll start seeing the hand of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Let's give our offering and get out of here. We are too late. Let's give our offering quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. All right. Sunday, after the next Sunday, we have joint service. Everybody will be here. Minister to us. How to live in this time. So joint service. It's your time, 9 a.m. But if you don't come early, you may not get seats. Because all the three services are coming together. And choir, we have special song that day, right? On the 18th. Brother Peter, right? Okay, praise God. All right. If you want to give online, it's a account available. Hallelujah. Everything he does it well. Hallelujah. All right. Let's give our offering. Okay. As you are through. All right. Let's get on our feet. Let's pray. I want to be honest with you. We live in a country of mediocrity. So, you hear me now. You get out there. People are doing all kinds of things. I'm going to ask God to let His grace be available to you outside here. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We want to be realistic with our world today. We know that our world is not encouraging to live like the way you want us to live. I'm asking for every human being here. I'm asking for the woman, the men, the young and the old. Lord, enable us, encourage us, strengthen us, and help us to always do our best, to act, even when we are persecuted, when we are resisted. Help us not to forget that we are your children, and you have your power to help us. Thank you for helping us this week. Thank you for making us to live a life, fulfilling our goals, reaching our purposes, making life a place of thanking God that our lives are not wasted. Blessed be your name. I want you to take your neighbor's hand and ask God's help for them at whatever level they need it. Just pray. Give to that person prayer. Just say, Lord, I pray for this, my sister beside me, my uncle beside me, my auntie beside me. Lord, I ask that you will help them. Whatever level, you will help them. Lord, assist them spiritually, emotionally, materially, physically, career-wise, maritally. Lord, help them because your help is marvelous. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for the Lord Jesus? Tell yourself, I'm going out to do things well. I'm going out to do things well. Hallelujah. If you are here for the first time, can we see your hands? We love you to be around. Thank you. Welcome. Anybody else? We have some stuff for you. We want to give you free of charge. Can you just go toward that door with your bag and your Bible? They will give you those things as you go. Thank you. God bless you. If you are here for the first time, can you go that way? We are waiting. Let's clap for them as you go. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's share the grace. Tell somebody, surely goodness and mercy. Thank you for coming. We are already overstayed. Let's move. Forgive us. Full service. You are always forgiving us.